change my hat. There we go. Huzzah. Did we turn those? We did. You guys are pros. The bacon is on, but not in my pocket. All right. Check it out. I'm so excited about this. Okay. What were we talking about? Oh, I'm going to pray. Father, thank you for the word tonight, Lord God. I ask that it would just bless the congregation and those watching at home, Lord God, that it would be good meat for them to take and enjoy, that would nourish them. I thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody's it?
Amen.
Amen. Check it out. It's awfully loud back here, but not so much here. Friendship. Friendship. God wants friends, right?
Amen.
All right, cool, we got like four. God wants friends. Would you believe that God, when he created man, I touched on this the previous Wednesday, we were the delight of Jesus before the foundation of the earth. Everybody remember that? Were you here? God delighted in us, right? Jesus loved us so much. And we'll start in Genesis, verse 1, or chapter 1, verse 26. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. I was reading it earlier today, so it should be there. Nope, of course not. Woo! Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Pretty easy. Everybody should know this. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. God, remember I told you guys that God created the world, the earth, everything in it for us, right? Amen. And then after he made everything perfect, he said, now let's make man in our image. And so when you look up image, it's a representation, the something the same, right? So when you look at Gabriel, my son's Gabriel, and Isaac's my son too, and you can still see similarities, but if you look at Gabriel specifically, that kid looks just like me. We took a picture once. I should have brought it up, but we took a picture once when he bought his Jeep. He was standing, and you could see just his profile in the reflection of the window, right? And you, spitting image of Clinton, you would think that, oh, Clinton, look, you're sitting there, standing there looking at the Jeep. Gabriel looks just like me. You could say that he was made in my image, right? In fact, the scriptures say that our children are made in our image, right? So our kids are in our image, right? So, and we love our kids, right?
Yes.
We do. We do. Amen. Some more than others, but we love our children. You know what, to tell you the truth, I love my boys regardless. They drive you up a wall, me up a wall, often. Yeah. Ireland often drives me up a wall, but they're so worth it, right?
Yeah.
And I'm excited to be around them, but I'm kind of getting away from what I wanted to talk about. I want to talk about friendship. God creates, God wants something, someone like him.
Yeah.
He wants connection.
Yeah.
He has servants. The angels were created previous to mankind. Everybody knows that, right?
Yeah.
So he has some thing or some things that follow his every command, that do everything he needs to, that out of fear, out of duty, it's what they were created to do, was just listen to God. But how many of you know that, and I don't, this might sound bad, but how many of you know paid friends aren't friends?
Right?
And I'm not saying God's paying the angels, but he's the manager, right? So they're not friends, they're servants. But God doesn't long for servants. What? Why do we come to church then? I'll get to that. God's not longing for servitude in your life. He desires you to serve him with your whole heart, but not out of compulsion. That's the same thing as giving. Not out of compulsion, not because we twisted or he twisted your arm, but because out of your heart, out of your love for God, you decide that you want to do everything you can to further his kingdom and his purpose, right? And so God wants that from you, but because you want to do those things. But if you don't, he still loves you. God bless you. He still loves you. The people that hate him, he loves. Breaks his heart when somebody goes to hell because he didn't create them for hell, nor did he create hell for them.
Amen.
Hell was made for Satan and his demons.
Amen.
Was never meant to be a place where humans would go. Because God, when he designed us, when he created us, when I was talking about in Proverbs 8, when I was talking about how Jesus delighted in us, we were daily his delight. Hold on. The mothership is texting me. It is in my pocket. Never mind. All right, so back to it is on. The camera's silly. As long as it's not jumping around, we're good. So in Proverbs 8:30, we read that Jesus delighted in us every day. That's like, gosh. Friendship. Something that is so, as an adult, you might have friends, more acquaintances than you have friends, right? A friendship, in my opinion, this is you can write this down or you don't have to, this is not scriptural. But a friendship, in my opinion, is a relationship where no matter how much time passes from point A to point B, when you meet back up with your friends, it's like nothing, like there was no time there. Yeah. You miss them wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
But you pick up right where you left off,
yeah.
Right? It's a longing to spend time with. My best friend moved to Colorado. And I miss him at times, right? Oh, I miss him all the time. And we get to talk here and there. But I would love to just spend a little time with them, right? I have other friends. I have very, very good friends. Eric is a perfect example. I love to just hang out with Eric. We've had great times together. It's so cool. And no matter how much time passes from when we play video games together, I'll tell on him. No matter how much time passes from the last time we played to this time we played. The last time I saw him to this time I saw him. We still have that kindred spirit, that friendliness. Like nothing ever changed, right? That's what God wants with us. And not, I don't want to say from us. Because from is kind of like he's asking. He wants that for us.
Yes.
He wants that with us.
Yes.
There's a couple times in scripture, and right here, we'll go to Genesis 5. We're going to point out just some things in creation. We'll go ahead and start Genesis 5:1. And then we're going to go 1 through 5, and then I'm going to jump to 8, 11, 14, 17, and 20. I might not jump to all those, but here's the thing. Genesis 5:1. This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them, male and female, and blessed them, and called them mankind into the day that they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son, in his own likeness, after his image, and named him Seth. After he begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years, and he had sons, daughters, so all the days of Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Now, in verses 8, 11, 14, 17, and 20, it's talking about all the sons, it's talking about Seth, and died. And then 11 talks about Seth's son, Enosh, who died. And then, what was it, 14? 13 or 14? 14, he died. And then 17, he died. And then in 20, He died too. But this pattern that you would see, it's not because they didn't know God. How many of you know they all know God?
Yeah.
Knowed God, knew God. We'll say knew God. So they all knew God. They knew of God, right? But then we get down here to same chapter, verses 21 through 24. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. Methuselah is the oldest guy in the Bible. Just a little bit of Bible trivia for you. But we'll go on beyond that. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Here's the thing I want you to notice. Enoch walked with God. He didn't know God. He walked with God. Okay? That's different than, we'll say, I know of somebody. But I know him, yeah. He's that guy. Whoever our mayor is, right? I don't even know that guy, to tell you the truth. I can't remember his name. It might be D'Amico or something like that. So this guy, yeah, he's the mayor. I know him. It's kind of like, yeah, he's God. I know him. He has power. He can make the police do weird things. Yeah. He has power. He can make the earth, like, shake. You know of them.
Yes.
That's different from walking with them. Yeah. I get to, I'll leave that be. Do you get what I'm saying? That there is a difference between coming to church, knowing God, sitting in the pews and listening to the word, knowing God, and engaging God, walking with God, doing what he's called you to do. You can go your entire life being a pew sitter and make it to heaven, 100%. But you miss so much. Serving God is a privilege. It's awesome. Amazing. It's a different experience, if you'll allow me to say it that way.
Yes.
Sitting in the church and just collecting and collecting and collecting and listening and listening and listening. Eventually, it just becomes dick. But when you're engaging in the word, that's why I think, like, with the year of enlarging and the year of growth, it's become, we've said it so many times that maybe we've deadened ourselves to it because we don't have passion. We don't have drive. We're just saying it because it's what we do, you know, after the countdown. Clinton goes up there, he makes a funny, usually picks on somebody in the sound booth if they don't pick on him first. But that's all it is. It's just words on a screen. Is the Word of God just words on a page?
No.
We say that, and this is where it might sting a bit, but we say that, but we don't act like they're any more than words on a page. Sometimes we act as if it's just a religion thing that we do when we get here. It's never meant to be that. There should be like an excitement, a joy when the word of God is preached, when the word of God is spoken, when worship is played. There should be this overwhelming desire to be engaged.
Amen.
Brad and Shauna came out. Brad's my buddy that moved to Colorado. They came out in July. We had so much fun. It was sad because I didn't get to hang out as much with them as much as I would like because I work and things like that. But there was so much excitement. There was so much like, oh, I can't wait to see him. I can't wait to show him this, and just all that, right? And then I tried to sell him Hammer, and he wouldn't take Hammer. So I still have Hammer. But there was so much like, woohoo!
Yeah. Yes, amen.
why when we come to church, do we not have that same zeal, that same, and it's not just you guys, me too, sometimes I'll get here and we're like, I hope JoJo doesn't talk. There's nobody named JoJo here, right? Like that comes here, right? Okay. I hope JoJo doesn't talk to me. That'd be terrible. Like JoJo's sitting at home on Facebook. He's like, I'll never go back there again, Clinton. I hope he doesn't talk to me today, right? But gosh, and so I'll be honest with you. I always am. There were times where they came up here to talk about offering again.
Yep.
Oh, gosh. Let me guess. Tell me all about Malachi. Oh, I get it. I was there. Because it didn't mean anything to me. There was no zeal. There was no woohoo about it. But then that changed for me when you search the scriptures and you spend time with God being his friend, excited to see him, opening the word, because that, let's be honest, when you open the Bible, that's your time to visit with God. That's God speaking to you. That's his words coming to you. They bring life. They bring life to any part of your life. You're having sickness. Find the scriptures that say you don't have to be sick. Amen. You can be and are healed. You were healed back 2,000 years ago. He took those stripes for you.
Amen.
But as long as they're just words on a page, they'll never be active. And that's the thing, is everything that God has done for you requires you to be actively participating in what it is. It doesn't matter if that means that you've got to walk out your healing. It doesn't matter if you've got to give God your last dollar just to prove that that's not going to be your king.
Amen.
And when you will do that, I'll tell you, so one time I literally gave the last dollar I had. And this, you can chalk this up to sure, same as a leg growing out in miracles, but I gave the last dollar that we had. Now, I knew I was getting another paycheck in just a couple days, but I gave the last dollar that night.
Yes.
It was the last dollar I had for 3 days. It was a Wednesday night. It was the last dollar. And before I got home, I had $200 more. I'm not saying that's going to happen for you. I'm not saying if you give your last penny that you're going to get $100. What I'm saying is that it took me being willing to be active in what God asked me to do, to give. And that is not because somebody twisted my arm. That wasn't because somebody gave a cool speech. It was simply because I was sitting in the chairs and I was just listening to the word, and the offering time came up, and before anything was said, the guys were coming forward, and all that I knew is that I was going to give my last.
Amen.
Simple as that. Yes. Now, you could say, well, if you got money, like when you had got home, then obviously the money was on the way. I'll go with that. Sure, not a problem. But God knew.
Come on.
God knew, hey, Clinton, I already sent something so you could feed your family for the next 2 or 3 days.
Amen.
I need you to give your last. Because, that could have been there. But God could have been, because guess what? $3 or $4 that I had to give that night, to be 100% honest with you, $3-4 doesn't feed five people 3-4 days.
Right.
Does it?
No.
So I could have gotten that money. You're absolutely correct. And the thief could have taken and popped a tire.
Yep.
Let's be honest, but that money was free and clear.
Yep.
Y'all know, I walked with a cane when I came here. When that prayer room got prayed for. Got offended at the lady that prayed for me. Walked out without my cane. But it took me being willing to, for one, receive prayer.
Amen. Yes.
Two, listen to the lady that God had over the prayer team.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Three, not pick my cane back up every morning. That's being an active participant. That's when the words in the Bible, when the words that are before you, they're no longer just words.
Amen.
That's when they become living and active.
Yes.
'Cause so long as they're just words on a page, there's something you hear every once in a while, they're not living and active. They're just words on a page. They're no different from your favorite novel. But when they become a part of you, when they become something you long for, that time you spend with God becomes something that you have an urgency about. You have a deep desire to spend time in.
Yeah.
That's when the difference is made.
Mm,
not when Clinton comes up and reads the enlarging and growing. If it's no more than spread out your tents. Oh, here we go again. Did you see the football game? Do you know who's playing this? Hold on, wait, enlarging and growing. Huzzah. I'm done. God desires that time with you. Again, let's correct our language. Not from us, with us.
Yes.
There's married people here. Well, gosh, most of us think or have been married. There's times where you definitely don't want to even see your wife or husband. I get it. Thanks, Heather. Gosh, what's he going to want now? But you remember those times, even if you're not in one of those times right now. Excuse me. You remember those times where you're like, oh, I can't wait to get home. See my family, see my wife, see my kids. Can't wait to get a hug. Y'all remember those days? God is looking, God is actually already feeling that for you. God already wants that time.
Yes.
Nothing makes him happier than one of his kids. Well, maybe when one of his kids comes home, right? And says, God, I give my life to you. But how cool is it when you wake, like me, I wake up in the morning, I feed the dog and the beast. I pour my coffee, drink, and then I sit in my chair and I read. That's that time that's spent with God.
Yes.
And the fact that Heather made fun of it last night, because I was like, I told her, I'm like, I got to get up at 5:45 because I got to read. And she's like, you can sleep in, it's fine. I'm like, no, I've got to get up at 5:45. It's what I do. I spend that time with God.
Amen.
And then so at 6:20 when I finally got out of bed this morning, she made fun of me. I still went out. I still did my thing. But instead of having peace and quiet before I started my reading, I had to wake up Ireland.
Yeah.
So the dog and the beast, that's not the dogs and Ireland. That's Gus and Hammer.
Yeah.
Hammer just is a weird animal. It's so cool in the morning to just spend that first time. And I told you guys, this is fairly new to me, where regardless of what I'm doing, if I wake up late or I'm going to be late to work, I'm going to spend that time. Because it's become something that's that important to me. It's become something that I desire to do in the morning. First thing to just say good morning, God.
Yes.
And then hear his voice for me that day.
Amen.
It's a driving part of my life.
Amen.
And it should be for all of us.
Amen.
Now, comes to the next part of friendship. When you have some of the coolest friends ever, you recruit other friends for your friend group.
Yeah?
Yeah. We're getting 100 new families this year.
Amen.
But shepherds don't make sheep.
Amen.
In case you wonder what that means, y'all sheep,
yes.
Including me. We all sheep.
Yep.
We ought to be bringing sheep.
Amen.
We ought to be going out and being like this. Yo, you ain't doing nothing Sunday? I got something for you. Yo, ain't doing nothing Wednesday night? I got something for you.
Amen.
Doesn't have to be weird. Shouldn't be weird. Should be really cool.
Amen.
Sometimes it gets weird here, I get it.
Yeah.
But that's some of the coolest times that we've ever had.
Amen.
But we, as friends of God, even if it's not about bringing people to church, we'll skip that part. How often do you talk about your friend? Do people even know you have a friend? Do they?
Yeah.
Ask yourself, be like, I wonder. Well, people know I'm Christian. I've got the fish and the cross on my car. I even know what that fish means. I'm a Christian. But do they know you have a friend? Anybody can be a Christian.
That's right.
But is God your friend?
That's yeah. Right.
We got that song, I'm a friend of Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Or I'm a friend of God?
Yeah.
But are we? Amen. Are we friends of God? Amen. Are we mindless drones? There's a difference. Let's be friends of God. Let's be active friends of God. Let's spend time with God. Let's get happy when we get to say something about God. When the opportunity comes up, brand new Christians, there's this craziness about brand new Christians. Especially those that like got pulled from the fire. They're whoo-wee. You get around them and Christians, and me too, you'd be like, yeah. What's wrong with you, bro? But why? We should all, if we could all just capture that zeal,
yeah.
Amen.
And be that wild and wacky for God,
yeah.
Wouldn't it be a different place?
Yeah.
Then it wouldn't look so weird.
Yeah.
Right? It would just be normal.
Right?
Dude, that guy loves Jesus.
Yeah.
I've known some people that they're out there like woo, and it's like, but you know what, they walk away and you go, man, not you, me, I go, man, do I even, am I a friend of God?
Yeah.
That guy, woo, that's that wild friend, that fun friend everybody wants to go and hang out with. That's goodness. Or are you the, hey, you want to go to Bob's house? There's no Bob's here, right? Oh, there is? Like in attendance?
Oh.
Potentially on Facebook. Bob, I'm not talking about you. Want to go to Bob's house? Nah, not really. Bob's kind of a bummer. Bob's a drag. I want to be happy. I want to do something silly. Right?
Yeah.
Or maybe you're, hey, some of y'all, you might be the drag.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. You might be the one who people are like, I don't want to go there. For real. I know that I'm one of those guys. Some people, I know that I can be fun to hang around with, but sometimes not so much. I'm just honest, right? Don't be a drag. Like, people be like, hey, you know that guy Clinton? Yeah, I know that guy Clinton. He's pretty fun, huh? No. Don't let that be you.
Amen.
Why is he so happy all the time, right? Because that would be like the best thing ever if people were like, why is Clinton so happy all the time? But Heather has to continuously remind me to tell my face that I'm actually not mad. So I'm working on that. But wouldn't it be cool to be known as the happy guy?
Yes.
The joyous guy?
Yes.
The outgoing guy?
Yep.
The guy that knows Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
The guy who's happy in Jesus?
Yeah.
The guy who's outgoing for Jesus?
Amen.
What church he go to? Well, he must go to that one church. Man, are they all like that there? I don't know. I've never been. Nobody's ever asked me.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
Isn't that weird? Nobody's ever asked me. That's a friend of God. He'd be like, hey, you want to go hang out with God? Huh? Or, look, I know it's kind of weird to you, but he's a good friend.
Yes.
I trust him with everything.
Yep.
I love him. He loves me. And I want you to meet God.
Mm-hmm.
Not as just somebody you know. I want you to walk with God. I want you to have that intimate relationship with God.
Amen.
Every time the door is open, we should be here. Every time the word is preached, we should be amening.
Amen.
Not just when it's a catchy phrase or anything like that.
Yeah.
Even when it stings.
Those
are the hard ones, the amens that come with a little choke up in your throat. Amen. Got me on that one. But that's where we should be.
Yeah.
Every single time.
Yes, yeah.
When praise and worship is going on, if you can't carry a tune in a bucket, belt out your joyous, noisiest, noisy noise.
Yes.
You can't stand, sit down and do it. You can't dance, stay seated. Raise an arm, ask your neighbor to raise your arm for you. Moses didn't have a problem with it, won a war that way.
Come on.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where we need to get.
Yeah.
The world is, the time is approaching, right? I'm not a big end times preacher. It's not my thing. But you'd have to be blind and oblivious not to see things.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be that church when he comes back, that not we Spirit Life, but we Christianity, we the church need to be that overzealous. If you can get excited about a football game that doesn't matter at all, about these billionaire babies, you ought to be here. You can get excited about God who gave his son for you. If you can get excited about a brand new video game, you can get excited about God. If you can get excited about a new flavor of ice cream, you can get excited for God. A new car, you can get excited for God because he loves you and he desires to spend time with you.
Amen.
One of my favorite times when Brad and Shauna still lived here, one of my favorite times that I got to, that I always looked forward to was Shauna sold pants. And we'd go and when Heather would be her little assistant during her live shows where she was selling the LuLaRoe pants, right? It was one of my favorite times. I looked forward to it every week to go there, to spend time with Brad and Shauna. I was their celebrity chef, because I cooked almost every time we went there, unless Brad was a barbecuing genius, or is. But I look forward to it every single week. We should have that same looking forward to the meat that's getting prepared here.
Amen.
We should have that same, woohoo, I can't wait to get there. I can't wait to see what's going to happen.
Amen.
To just spend time. Sometimes we even spent it in quiet. That's hard to believe with me in the room. But it's true. Sometimes we just sat and Heather and Shauna did their thing. And Brad and I, Brad's who got me into fish tanks. And so we talked about fish tanks or we watched fish tank videos. It's weird. But it's what we did. So when you come to church, what do we do here? We praise and worship God. We egg the pastor on. It's funny to say it that way, but it's Pastor Ricky.
Yes.
He likes to be egged on.
Yes.
Like not poke him with a stick, but poke him with a stick. You know what I mean?
Yes. Amen.
The stick being the amens, hallelujahs.
Amen.
Preach on, bring it, pastor. Those kind of things.
Yes.
Egg him on.
Amen.
Encourage him.
Yes.
Pull.
Yep.
That's what we do at church.
Amen.
Let's be friends. Not with each other. I love you all. I really do. There's nobody here that is like JoJo. I can't think of any JoJos in attendance or on Facebook or that come on Sundays. This is the coolest family, the biggest family I've ever had. Don't take that wrong, Mom. Mom's in attendance. I just love you guys. Jesus loves you guys. I desire to be here for God and to see what he's doing in your guys' lives. And I love to see the wins. I love to pray with you guys. But let's put aside the human parts and focus on being a friend of God and being active in that friendship.
Amen.
Picking up the phone.
Yeah.
Looking at the old love letters, if you get what I'm saying, right? The Bible?
Yeah.
Put that one again. Let's do that. And if God wants to take us on a drive, we go on the drive.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for this beautiful night, Lord God. We thank you for the opportunity to spend time in your word, Lord. I thank you, Father God, for everybody that's in this room. Everybody watching online, and the people that couldn't make it tonight for whatever reason, Lord. Lord God, that we would really desire to be your friend, to have that intimate relationship with you, to walk with you all the days of our lives. And if we hadn't been before, that we would be moved from here tonight with a new fire, a new zeal, a new desire to spend time with you, Lord God, to be a good, good friend, to listen to your word daily, Lord God, to spend time with you, to long to spend time with you, Lord, that the scriptures would not be just words on a page, Lord God, but they would be active and living for us, Lord. I thank you, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Y'all are dismissed.